from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast that puts you to sleep like the podcaster, because of the podcaster who tries to think of something every time and finds himself in an awkward position. I don't have anything witty to say, but what could be more perfect than that? It's time for the podcast that puts you to sleep. I'm glad you're here. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleeping Media Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show's just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get to sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Do yourself a favor, go to helixsleep.com/sleep and take that Helix quiz. That was about 4 years ago that I took the Helix quiz, got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux, which is a perfect mattress for me and the way I sleep. Because the thing is, the Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection. They have a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And how would you know which one is going to fit you and your body? You just take that Helix sleep quiz. You find the perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new mattress. And here's the thing. Everybody's unique. Everybody sleeps differently. And that is why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from. Each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. You know, if you're like me, I sleep on my stomach and my side. I sleep a hot, so I want to stay cool. And that's what happened. I took the quiz. I got matched with the Helix Dusk Lux. I love my Helix Dusk Lux. And the way I know is every time I leave town, I cannot wait to get back. That first night back in my Helix Dusk Lux, it's like I'm in a state of sleep bliss. Not only is it the best mattress I've slept on, but setup is fast and easy. Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight right to your door for free. And Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep and use the code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet. It won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. And you know who doesn't play any games is Chris Posterson from Sounds Like an Earful, because he's so focused. Because he edited this episode, did the theme music. Scotty and Jennifer honor artwork. You know, the mystery bard, his name's Jonathan Mann. You can find him at jonathanmann.net. I'm at Dearest Scooter. Always appreciate all of you sharing, especially out of your podcast apps. Really great way to promote the show is just to let people know your honest experience about it. I appreciate it so much. Brings those new listeners so they can dull off to dreamland. And speaking of listeners, they have their own Facebook group. You can get there, sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods, N-O-D-S. Want to thank the Nodderators, Stacy, Lauren, Keith, Julie and Jennifer, Summer and Sarah, Nodderating their free time over there. That's a tough job, a volunteer Nodderator. So thank you, and let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is try to create a safe place where you could set aside whatever is keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, emotions. Noises, travel, changes in routine, whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to take your mind off of that. And what I'm going to do is try to create a safe place. Like I said, the way I'm going to attempt to do that is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use these lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, pregnant pauses, regular pauses, intentional pauses, deluxe pauses, accidental pauses, you know, lots of pauses, repetition, and pauses after repetition by accident. But really what I'm going to do is try to make you feel welcome and appreciated, I guess, in the way of, like, I appreciate that it's difficult for you to fall asleep and how much that sucks, because I've been there. I appreciate you giving this podcast a try. So if you're new, I'm going to give you a little quick 2 or 3 minute intro, like a explanation. And I appreciate you as a human being, that you really deserve a good night's sleep, a restful, full, you know, or as full as you can get it, less rigorous, less annoying bedtime, where it can feel a little bit soothing or a little bit fun, and if this podcast does work for you. And maybe a little bit silly and goofy, too. So if you're new here, here's the structure of the show real quick. Podcast starts with about 6 minutes of business. If you're new, not that important. If you're a regular listener and you want the podcast to be free and around for a long time, pretty essential you listen to that either tonight or tomorrow. So you could support the sponsors or check them out, because I always try to pick awesome stuff. But if you're new here, you can skip that. Then there's an intro that we're just starting. Usually intros are around 12 to 15 minutes or so. And they kind of give you, for some people, they just help them get ready for bed. Some people, it's like something familiar, something borrowed from all the other podcast intros. Sometimes blue, sometimes I feel a little blue. Not today, though. You know, no Blues Clues, because I don't know what that means, but I thought I'd throw that in there. So there's a longish intro to kind of set the mood, to set the pace, and to remind you that I'm here to kind of take your mind off stuff. Then we'll have a bedtime story. Tonight will be one of our serial episodic stories that I always mean to call episodic, and then I accidentally call it a serial story, but it doesn't really matter, a little bedtime story. And then we close out the show with some thank yous. So that's the structure of the podcast. And it's a podcast that you don't need to feel pressure to listen to. It'll be here to distract you, to keep you company, in the deep, dark night, and ideally to keep your mind off whatever's keeping you awake while you cross over the threshold from wake to sleep. But you don't need to closely listen, and hopefully, like, I'll engage you just enough for you to drift off when you're ready. But you're also under no pressure to fall asleep. I'll be here to keep you company. And for those listeners that can't sleep, I'll be here the whole time, giving it my all. In fact, tonight's like a pre-prepared story. You could almost say it's a written story or outline story. So I've already put in about like a lot of work to kind of meander and give you something to either sleep to or to keep you company. But yeah, I'll have a lot of talking and explanation and stuff like that. So if you're new, those are the kind of things. Podcasts you don't need to listen to put you to sleep, but you don't need to fall asleep. You can. Here's a question. Blue's Clues just brought. Oh, also, sometimes I get distracted in the intros. It's mostly what the intro is. Was Blue's Clues, was Blue investigating things, or was it more a clue? I think it was. Was that a mystery, Blue's Clues, for like toddlers? Here's the things I remember about Blue's Clues. A dude in a rugby shirt and a dog named Blue. And I think the dog would appear and then they'd say, another great New Yorker article. I don't know if it was about Blue's Clues, but it was about children's television and kind of maybe it was like 9 years ago. And I just remember, and I don't know if Blue's Clues was on it, but it was talking about that era of children's television. And kind of some elements I use in this fight, like folding in the ability for the child, or in this case, whoever's listening, to talk back. I know that's a feature of this podcast, so listeners tell me about that. Yeah, you should feel like you could talk to me. Like, even though it's a podcast, you could say, Scoots, you got that? Wasn't called Blue's Clues. It was called Green's Dreams or something. I said, no, that's my pitch later this week. Anybody remember Mr. Green Jeans? Was he a friend of Mr. Rogers or what? I think it was Mr. Green Jeans. If you're not 35 to 55, Mr. Green Jeans was, I don't know who he was, to be honest. A friend of Mr. Rogers, I believe, maybe a farmer. He might have been friends with Captain Kangaroo, but I don't know. So what was my point? My point was it was Blue's Clues mystery. It's a mystery to me. And at bedtime, it can feel like a mystery. It can feel like with me when I settle down, all these parts of me are ready to solve all these mysteries about my faults and about obtaining certainty for the future. And that's one of the biggest things I struggle with, not to like totally take it off of a silly topic and do a serious one, but I'm one of those people, I really desire certainty, like especially at bedtime, where I have to know, like I'd much prefer if things didn't turn out great if I knew how they're going to turn out, or that they would turn out perfectly. But usually that's like, okay, if you just do this and this and this, one day you'll have certainty. But more than likely, you're going to have this other form of certainty. And sometimes I find that desire, this deep-seated desire for certainty, driving my behavior. But also, like, what's keeping me up at bedtime, because I say, well, I got some certainty for you. You certainly made a lot of mistakes and this. It's no mystery, would be what my brain bots would say. And when you're trying to go to sleep, that's not really the biggest help. You know, you say, well, I just want to go to sleep now so I can, I just got to deal with tomorrow. You know, I got to figure out how to use a spreadsheet. I'm freaking 40 years old. I don't know how to use a spreadsheet. And say, no, I'm not exactly like, I can put stuff in the columns, but other than that, I don't know what to do. Like, honestly, like I couldn't sort it if I had to. It always rejects my sums, So I'd rather say, well, why didn't you take all the spreadsheet tutorials? And I say, well, I can't do it. Well, maybe you should take a spreadsheet tutorial, right? Well, I got to go to bed. So sometimes it can be like that. Sometimes it can be something more on a feeling level or just a low level unease. That's like my middle name. I don't know if that's malaise, but I'll tell you what, if you could put that on a sandwich, some malaise, I'd spread it on there and eat it every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Say, ooh, is that apricot malaise? And they say, no, this is marmalade. And they'd say, oh, okay, well, that's probably better, because I said I really don't want to eat concentrated malaise. But I was just trying to make a sensible point in a podcast intro. I mean, maybe if we could concentrate the malaise and put it in a spread that would never be used, that would be good. But then in the future, someone would discover it, and then they say, well, aged malaise is actually super sweet. And then not till years later would they understand that they've been, this ancient sandwich spread that they decided would be healthy enough to eat was secretly, you know, reintroducing malaise into our food chain. And it doesn't, whatever that stuff is where it stays in your system, you say, oh boy, this stuff, you got a lot of malaise. Have you been eating malaise 3 times a day? And they say, yeah, I can't get that. Like, I love that jingle. Malaise makes me, you know, makes my day. How do you start your days? With malaise, and marmalade, both. I like malaise on one side, then an egg, then marmalade. What about this? Instead of all that, like if you have a tube of lace, just say, hey, these are my malaise. These are my malaise. That doesn't make any sense, but that would be pretty fun. Let's just start rolling around holding malaise and say, hey, keep your hands off malaise. That's how you say it, malaise. What do people call, when people possess chips in Australia, what do they say? These are malaise. That's what they say in my mind, in my imagination. Anyway, if you're new here, a little bit silly, like a little bit serious, those are the two things that make this podcast work, I think, in some way. Because it's serious. If you can't sleep, you deserve a good night's sleep. But the way I propose getting there is to kind of relieve the tension, to take some of that, drain some of that energy out of the room, be a little bit of a goofball, and be there for you as your friend, or your boyfriend, or your boar bay, or your boar bud, whatever you want to call me. I'll be here to keep you company. I'll be here to take your mind off stuff. Now, if you're new, it doesn't work for everybody. I'm definitely an acquired taste, much like malaise or marmite, or any of that other stuff. So even marmalade, I think that's good, but I'm, you know, Marmaduke. Not everybody reads Marmaduke comics, right? Some people are like, I said, well, no, I read Family Circle. And a lot of people say, what are those? Family Circle? Who's that? And I say, well, before the oatmeal, people had to read their comics in newspapers. And you got up one day and you decided, are you a Ziggy person, a Marmaduke person, or a Family Circle person? Now, those were people like me, the very adjusted people, they would read all three. But anyway, if you're new here, podcast doesn't work for everybody. I hope it works for you. Give it a few tries. That's what most reviewers say, either you stop listening if it doesn't work. I respect that. But if you give it a few tries, I hope it helps you. And like I say every episode, I work really hard at this show because I care, because I've been there. And I really yearn, I really strive, and I really hope this can help you fall asleep. Thank you so much for coming by.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, everybody, it's time for another episode of Big Farm PI, our episodic series, almost 100% episodic. The Council of Episodic Episodes. The episodic council, it only meets episodically. And they did, actually, the official title is the Great Episodic Council. So, of course, I huffed at that. So, they only give us an episodic rating of 6 out of 10. But I told, you know, I told them that they could take that 6 and, you know, turn it into a 9. But they refused. And then, so then I told them what to do with the 6, which was, you could, there's a lot of good things you can do with a 6, you know, toothpick, fake telephone, like earrings. That was another one, comma, apostrophes, all sorts of stuff. They didn't appreciate that, so they still didn't change the rating. But Big Farm PI, just in case you slept through all the episodes or you're a new one, is a case of a detective, much like Nancy Drew, Hardy, maybe about the Hardy Boy. I think all the Hardy Boys episodes take place in caves or on ships, though. So more like Encyclopedia Brown, or one of those. I read one Cam Jansen book and one Geronimo Stilton book. And no offense to Geronimo Stilton, but that was more of a travelogue with a mystery in it. And, you know, but like the mysteries, like a childhood mystery story. I mean, anybody that listens to this podcast would say, okay, I bet you if there was a mystery, they'd say, yeah, of course they'd solve it before. I wouldn't stand a chance against Encyclopedia Brown. The only reason I remember Bugs Meany's name is because it ends in Meany. And I'm only 40% sure that that was Encyclopedia Brown's nemesis anyway. And so anyway, but so like those series, this is an adult though. So I guess that's one difference, but like written by me. So they get back, bounce right back to the childhood stuff. Investigating mysteries up in the big farm in the sky. He's no longer earthbound human like the rest of us that listen to podcasts. He's up there in the big farm in the sky, or whatever you choose to call it. This happens to take place in the big farm in the sky, within the sky, and across the sky, as it's been explained to me by various, like I went to the Institute of whatever, this big theological place to try to get an explanation. I shouted it through the door because they wouldn't let me. Anyway, not important because I got to get through this setup, and I'm also buying time again for the person that does the voice of the podcast. But so, a big farm in the sky, his niece and her best friend, G and DK, they are earthbound, but they help him with his cases. And I think that's it. Every episode, he investigates a case. It happens at a big farm, you know, so it's different, lower stakes, easy to sleep through these mysteries. You know, there's no mystery about that. You say, like, I mean, no offense to Encyclopedia Brown, but you say, if Bugs Meany didn't do it, sometimes, you know, it would say the case of the missing penny, it was stuck on the bottom of your shoe, and, you know, Encyclopedia Brown figured it out because he followed your footprints. Maybe that was the case he actually solved for Bugs Meany, like, because Bugs Meany was in, did that happen, or was that fan fiction? The case of the wooden nickel. Well, wooden nickel wouldn't leave an impression. The case of the golden eagle or something. Anyway, so that's, oh, here he is to set up the series. Mr. Antonio, excuse me. Okay, can you remember to say, let's crack this case, okay, at the end? Okay. Sorry, I'm late. Is it ladies, is the gentlemen, is the boys, the girls, the friends beyond the binary? It's time for Big Farm in the Sky, P.I. Well, 1 second, lady. You know, this goes against everything I've structured my beliefs around. This, okay, it's just, please. It's time for Big Farm in the Sky, P.I. Let's crack this case. Yeah. Oh, thanks, Antonio. It's a Big Farm in the Sky PI. Let's crack. I just said that. Let's crack this case. Hey, everybody, Simon here, and I'm right outside. I'll fill you in real quick. I'm right outside this It's a bit like a hobby horse. It's built into an old tree, and I'm about to go in. I can hear someone on the inside, but I haven't recorded it. My apologies. So I'm halfway through this case. Well, I'm just about to solve it, actually. So I'll fill you in later, but I'm about to go inside. And I wanted to sit I don't know, but I wanted to tell you the inside is a WTICH, which I'll just say a wizardess. And all the clues have led me here. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to find out. Hello, ma'am. Hello. Yeah, sorry, I was talking outside your front door. I was going to knock, but I was explaining some things to you. Oh, could I come right in? It smells like bone broth in here. I hope it's it smells like bone broth. I can't say that smells great. It does smell like a. Oh, who am I? Well, I'm Simon. I'm here to speak to you about what you've been up to. What do I mean? What have you been up to? Well, I've been asking around. Simon. I run a detective agency, private investigator. Really, I don't look like a detective. Well, I'm not a detective. I guess I am. I'm not a detective by profession, just by passion. Yeah, like you like that. So this is interesting. Do you call this a laboratory or just a kitchen? But you cook things in here that aren't just for consumption. You know what I mean? I know, okay, well, I'm here to find out, to get to the bottom of the town. The town just across the woods and through the narrows over that swamp, around the swamp, or through the swamp. Over the Rocky Mounds, you know the town I'm talking about, ma'am. What you don't? Oh, well, I think you're acting coy. Okay, why don't I just get to the point? Did you curse a town of or the townspeople of a town? If you want to do a technicality, you might not have it's possible. Well, yeah, I know it's possible because I just came from there. What do I want? Well, I came here on behalf of the townspeople to solve. I guess they never technically hired me, but I'm here to solve things for them. I guess I'm here to resolve everything, ma'am. Should I call you Hilda or what? Prima is your name. Prima, that's a beautiful name. Prima the bone broth, wizardess and the bone broth maker. So did the town put me up to it? No, I investigated and I found the town. And I said, my job as a private eye is to fix things. Have you ever heard of the A-Team, ma'am? No. Well, they were a team and if you could find them, they would help people in trouble. That's what I do up here. And this town was in trouble. Holy moly. And I guess, from what I could determine, they were cursed by you. And I guess we should just talk it out. Why did you decide to curse them? Oh, to teach them a lesson. Interesting. About guests and opening your door to strangers. That's very typical. That's a very typical case. Well, why don't you tell me more? So you were mad at the town because did you go in there bundled up and they didn't let you in? Okay, you know it sounds petty, but it all goes back to grammar school. It doesn't it always. It always goes back to grammar school with all of us, I know. So they were, okay, but I really, when I do these cases, I like to understand everything. So, with the halves, so the cursing, that's what I, am I listening to you? No, yeah, I'm listening. What do you mean, what potions do you have for terrible listeners? No, I don't need any potions. No, ma'am, I'm Prima, I'm sorry, Miss Prima, just Prima. Yes, Prima. No, I'm curious, I'm trying to connect all the dots, because I'm going to have to explain it to my niece and her best friend. When I understand how everything comes together, then I can help you in the town resolve things, maybe. Maybe that's what I'm supposed to do, or maybe I'm supposed to take your side. If I hear your side of it, because I really didn't get their side, because they weren't being hospitable to me. Well, I guess it was more of a confusion than a, like a than being inhospitable. It was more confusion, I think, a communications issue. So I just want to, I'm just curious here. I'm just, you know, I want to hear your thing. What potions do you have for a curious lad? Oh, is there, you have gummy newts, gummy to eye of newt. I don't think, I think I'll pass for now. It's not really my thing trying to, like, usually I just try to fix it as quick as I could, but it, like, with my niece G and her friend DK, they're earthbound, you know, they live over there. Yeah, is that what you call it, a traveler? That means something different. But yeah, I'm like, I call it a Casper. I can Casperize myself. Scooby-Doo, I guess it could be like the Scooby-Doo. I thought most of those ones on Scooby-Doo were fake, though. I'm real. When I go back there, they can see me, the two of them. But so they're going to ask me a bunch of questions anyway. So if we could just walk through this step by step. Okay, so start. So not all the way back to grammar school. We don't have to go that far. So like many towns, and just correct me if I'm wrong. And if I'm close, you don't bother correcting me, because it's easy for me to be concise with my niece. So you or someone close to you during some sort of stormy period or something went to this town and their bid for hospitality was rejected. They were an outsider and they needed shelter or food. Hospitality, yes, okay. Yeah, what do you mean? How do I know so much about this? It's a very standard thing. Like, I've heard this story 1,000 times. It's like I think even in a tale as old as time, that happens to be somebody in that story. Not to Belle, of course, but just somebody else, maybe. Wait, there's other, there are other terrible towns like this one that we're talking about. Yeah, lots of them, at least on the Earthbound side. Okay, so after this happens, after your bid for hospitality is rejected or not fulfilled, this would be where G would already, like, are you sure your expectations were realistic? And this isn't she would have said it differently in more of a roundabout probing way. But were you just seeking some, you weren't seeking like, hey, let's give me $1 million. Yeah, they were rude. Okay, like a town that wouldn't. Okay, did they use bad words when they were talking to you? Is that why? Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. You're right, and I'm confusing you. Okay, well, yeah, because I'm getting ahead of myself. So you decided to teach them a lesson. Yeah, I know we've covered it, but I need to cover it in a step by step way to follow the process. I guess the deductive process here is just getting this out of you. Why, I'm curious, like I said. Actually, can I have one of those newt gummies? Is this sassafras flavor? It's delicious. I didn't even know what sassafras tasted like. Oh, like licorice. Yes, you're right. So you wanted to teach them a lesson, That was what you wanted to do with your curse. Okay, hold my horse. I don't have any horses. I did have a seahorse once. Seahorse that sucked on its own tail. It was like for comfort. Yep, exactly. So in the world I come from, teaching you a lesson means something different than up here. I know, less conflict up here for sure. So here you were actually trying to teach them a lesson, trying to help them, even more, help them understand the joy of welcoming others. So you're helping them with a curse to understand, a cursing curse, if you don't mind me saying, learn the joy of welcoming. I could probably sign up for this. I don't like, when I first got here, I wanted to be left alone. So the curse is almost like the sand in the Vaseline, huh? As those heads would say, those talking heads, to get their attention. Sand and the Vaseline would get your attention. Of course it would. like what in the nuke gummy? Did you say something? There was something. Oh, you're just joking with me. Okay, so you got their attention. I understand that much. And I have your attention. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, but this is where I get mixed up. So in order to teach them the joy of welcoming others, you cursed them. What did you want them? What were you hoping to accomplish? Now, what did you do? There you go. This is what G would ask, I think. What did you want? You wanted to give them a means to really feel. That's what empathy or compassion, one of those, right? Sorry. I honestly think it was the sugar in the gummy got me too excited. What it's like not to feel welcome when you're a stranger. And what it's like not to have a warm fire to warm yourself by. Okay, so you wanted them to feel some sort of isolation? This is where I get mixed up on the half swears. Half swears, not elf swear. Did you say elf smars? Elf swears? Let's back up again. What was with the notebooks? Tell me, about how, what do the notebooks have to do with the half swears? Were they just as, an easy way to leave? Were those just a or did they leave the notebooks? What am I talking about? What I'm talking about is that's how I found the town, was by following. Well, I'll tell you about that in a minute. I guess you didn't leave them. But let me I know you're about to speak, Prima. But hold on, give me 1 second. The notebooks, I got to do some deduction. Okay, the notebooks were for note-taking. And it was taking, I was taking notes because I checked in with DK and G. But was I supposed to bring them to, because I did try handing out notebooks. That didn't go well. But was I supposed to, I guess I don't understand. So the notebooks weren't the means, but the half swears were the means? Or were they the device? Because you wanted them to improve their bad behavior and learn from their mistakes. I think you're looking at me Prima, I'm really confusing you. Which doesn't bode well for me cracking the solution. But at the same time, I think this is brilliant. I think it was brilliant. I just think I'm not doing a good job of explaining it. And maybe I'm just adding too much. I think you just wanted to isolate them via communication. And I think they will, they definitely seemed frustrated. Okay, what are you doing? Why are you looking through your potions? You're staring at me and now you're looking through all your potions. You're looking for a cure for a man possessed by a fool. Or am I being intentional? Then you're going to really... No, I'm not being intentional, but I'm not possessed by a fool. I'm just am I here to teach you humility and patience? It might be. Maybe that's how we solve this whole thing. Maybe I teach you the humility and patience to forgive the town for being, let's all take a breath here. You're saying, oh, how the worm turns, you've been doling out the lesson. I guess maybe that's it. I'm here to teach you a lesson. Oh, you're calling me the wise fool now. Thank you for coming. Okay, but we still have to resolve stuff with the town that you cursed. Okay, you're going to be honest with me. You don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But you're going to drink this blue potion of patience. And maybe I should call my niece, tell you all about my journey. Yeah, maybe we should just, could I sleep here? Could you keep me as a guest, Prima? And then, once I know my niece and, once it's bedtime, that's when I get a hold of my niece and her best friend. You could stir up the cauldron and see them. Well, usually I try to only contact them when they're in her room, you know. Of course I knock first. Actually, now we have a symbol. They have an imitation flower in a plastic flower thing, and I knock it over. I finally figured out the power of knocking that over. No, I haven't been able to replicate it outside of her room. Otherwise, yeah, I would go back and teach some lessons. You're right. Oh, okay, so you're going to call them in your cauldron. Looks wow, I love how dark it is in the cauldron. No wonder you're always looking in the cauldron. You could see a lot. Can I say toil, toil, boil, and bubble? Just find my niece G and her best friend DK on the double. No rushing you. Teach you. No, I'm here to teach you patience and humility. That's what I do to everybody. Ever since I was born, I think. Oh, there they are. Hey, DK. Hey, G. Can you hear me? Am I floating? I'm calling you by cauldron phone. Or by cauldron, actually. Hey, yeah, I know it's weird, but I'm here with a wizardess. Or she could go by the other thing. Yeah, she's a little green. More of a beautiful turquoise green, if you don't mind me saying Prima. Her name's Prima, though. Yeah, she's very nice, but everybody up here is nicer. But we're at I was hoping to solve the whole case and tell you both about it. Yeah, so I followed the notebooks like we had last talked about, and then I got to the town with the half-swears. And then I got my way here, but I'm really confusing her. She doesn't understand anything. And we're both speaking the same language, so I don't know where I went wrong. I don't think you can speak to Prima directly. I think I have to be the medium, you know. No, I told her. She said she cursed the town because they weren't welcoming. But then everything we talk about, it could be another spell cast. You're right. Okay, so we should start at the beginning. Okay, how does that sound, Prima? It sounds great. Well, okay, so I'll start at the beginning. So the notebook, okay, how far back? Prima, okay, you're just going to watch me, G. Okay, and then add stuff in as I need to. Okay, great. So, Prima, everything started. So, like I said, I'm a private eye, and I have a little table set up in front of my garage and a dry erase board. And that's where I was waiting for cases. And then a notebook came, and it booped me right on the head, a flying notebook. And then I, picked it up, and it was a brand-new notebook, and I looked at it. And then another one came and booped me. But that one blew away, and then I started following it. And it was going too fast, so then I just let it fly away, and it stopped moving. And then I didn't know if there was some sort of hidden camera show up here, where I said that would be too schadenfreude, like they're laughing. I said that would be wrong. And so I didn't want to chase it because I didn't want to be laughed at. Then another notebook came and found, and I said, then I looked back at my board, and I'd left the original notebook there, and the wind was waving it, like it was waving me on from my table. So I said, this must be the case, to follow the notebooks. And as soon as I said that, more and more notebooks started appearing and guiding me. And then I traveled outside, and I started, at some point it was raining notebooks. No, I had an umbrella, actually. No, I picked one up at, traveling salesperson. I guess it was on, no, I didn't get any paper cuts at all. But yeah, because I even, there was, a torrent of notebooks. Divine notebooks? I don't know if they're, I guess I didn't get cut, so I was following them, and then there would be a trail of them. Did I pick them up? No. Sometimes I would arrange them in a pile on the side of the trail, but then I got tired, and I figured I figured they would find their own way home. But I did keep some, not all of them. I could have never carried them all. But and then I did go. You'll see. I went back and got more for the townspeople. And they led me right into this town. And I got to the town square. And there's a big bell tower and a statue of somebody riding some sort of sea creature or something, cobblestones. Yeah, the whole nine yards. And then I noticed nobody came out to greet me. But then the notebooks, there was like a swirling in the town square. I dropped all the notebooks and they started knocking on people's doors. So then I started asking if anybody was missing any notebooks. And that's when I started noticing is that everybody in the town had a dirty mouth, I guess you'd say, but in a weird way. They would only speak in half vulgarities. What do I mean by half vulgarity? Well, I can't say, I guess I can because G and DK are kind of listening. Like they'd say half of vulgarity. I don't know how to, or it would rhyme with a vulgarity, but they couldn't say anything more than that. They couldn't communicate other more than one or two words. And it was very off-putting and very, very hard to communicate. And at first I was confused and I was trying to probe more. And then I went to the edge of the town to see, but then the notebooks would fly back. So then I brought notebooks and I handed them out to everybody in town. But it really got exhausting because everybody was swearing at me, more or less. I'd say to and then it was just trying to eat and things and sleep. So then it was nighttime, so then I got a hold of G and DK. And that's when G said, write down all the swear words. Write down the fake ones and note one side in the notebook or one notebook and the real ones in another one. Because they said, you can't know these words. This is like a town of sailors or whatever they say. And we were trying to figure it out. Because they said, and that's when DK said, this sounds like a curse of a wizardess or a WTICH, which they used that a lot. Or other words, switch, they would call me. But they would say it in the context so I knew what it meant. Not just like you'd say, hey, do you want to switch the TV? They wouldn't say that because that would make sense. And so I said, that sounds like a half-cursed curse, right? And so then I asked the people, I said, are you cursed? And they said, they were nodding at least. So I said, okay. But then they would say something. And I said, man, this is really difficult. And it was really wearing on me. I know you want to talk, Prima, but let me get through the whole thing so this all makes sense. And DK saying, keep going. So then I said, okay, is there like a wizardess that lives outside, who could have done this to all of you? And I said, is there someone that and then we finally figured out, I said and he said, over the mounds, through the swamp, into the deep, deep woods, watch out for the pricker bushes, the swamp smells like gas, but it's not real, it's just the natural smell of the swamp. They said, make sure you pull up your socks real high. So I did all that. I went through, I slept in the brambles one night, because I don't know if you know this about me, Prima, but I love brambles, and I love the word brambles. And that's how I found my way here. And clearly, I could smell the bone broth and I could see you had a chimney. And I saw a few brooms parked out front. So I don't know if, Ron and Hermione are over here for a joyride. Or otherwise, I figured you were up to, you're a wizard, wood wizardess. So I figured, I said, well, this is the spot. And then I asked you, and then GDK, I did come and I said, did you curse the town? And you said, yes, you were going to teach them a lesson. So maybe you're still cursed. Maybe you have a curse of confusion on Prima. So Prima said she was cursing a town that didn't accept her as a stranger, wasn't welcoming to strangers, so they could learn the joy of welcoming strangers. I know your fingers up, Rima, but I'm almost done. And then I said, okay, that kind of makes sense. Like if you're swearing, half swearing at everybody that comes into your town, strangers aren't going to feel very welcome, but at some point you'll feel isolated because you've, because I felt isolated. And I said, I didn't want to talk to any of these townspeople. You know, half swear, rhyming swear, it was wearing me down. And I didn't see any other visitors in town. So I think it worked, but then we're just having trouble. It just still doesn't make, like, I knew you'd see right through it. So there's something missing. Okay, G, what do you think? Go ahead, Prima. That's not the town you cursed. What do you mean that's not the town you cursed? I got my towns and my wizardesses mixed up. Oh, boy. So you're saying you cursed another town, and another wizardess cursed this town for half swears. Okay. Oh, boy. And there's probably more to the story than I realize. Okay, what are you saying, G? Oh, who's, is it the townspeople? I guess that's what we thought. We said, geez, am I here to help you, Prima? Well, anyway, what did you do to the town that was, all their doors are creaky and stuck? All their doors, but when they have a guest, the doors don't creak? That's a very mild curse. They do. Oh, because it gives them a subtle sense of reassurance when they have a guest. And the house creaks too. When there's a guest under their eaves, there's no creaking. Oh, and there's a nice, I hear pink noise is great. I bet you that wind is just like pink noise. So that doesn't sound like as much of a curse as this cursing curse is. Yeah, so I guess we're not back at square one, but I guess I took a little bit of a wrong turn. I guess, sorry about that, Prima. Good thing I didn't come with any, kindling or anything. You know what I'm saying? I was just here to solve the problem. You know, I'm not from Salem. Okay, so what are you saying, G? It's a, why me? Okay, so none of the three you believe I was paying enough attention. Okay, here's what the notebooks look like. Yeah, they're like composition books. Well, yeah, no, there were some other ones. Yeah, there were some legal pads, steno pads. Those are all notebooks to me. Yeah, the ones where you could tear it out, kind of like a composition book. All different colors. I mostly kept the colors. I like all colors, though. Well, except for like the pea green. There was a couple pea green ones. Okay, was there any notebook styles I didn't take? What do you mean? What were there any spiral notebooks? No spiral notebooks. Thank goodness. Don't I think that's strange? Wait, DK's looking up at how many spiral notebooks. The majority of notebooks sold are spiral notebooks. Hey, did you ever think, I don't know if anyone ever thought about this, are multi-subject notebooks are just a ripoff, huh? I never could make those work. I was always better off with one, except for the dividers are great for doodling. I loved that. I would make comics in there. Yeah, mostly really bad ones. Yes, you're right. Okay, I'm sorry. What were you saying? Isn't it strange that it was no spiral notebooks? I guess so. And that I'm left-handed. Well, do you think that's, there's no way that's a coincidence? Okay. Well, they knew I was going to be on the case, and so they probably needed me to write stuff down, and they didn't want it to be smudged or me to be in a bad mood. Oh, and yeah, I did write down. I wrote all the, I wrote all the swear words in two of the similar notebooks, yes. So I did write stuff down, but we just didn't. I'm sorry, Prima, what, you can't read any of that? No, yeah, that's the real swear words. Those only look like half swear words. What word is that? That's A-double-S. Looks like what would you say? Yeah, no, I know my handwriting's terrible. OLD. Like an old butt. No, it rhymes with that. No, mine's, that's H-O-L. No, I spelled it right. It's just a, that's an E and an L. It looks like a D. Well, no, see here. That looks like s'mores. No. That's what they were saying. Wait a second. So the notebooks did lead me here. Okay, so you didn't curse the town, but someone did curse the town, and the notebooks were supposed to lead me here so I could figure something out, I think, Prima. Like, we had a trail of notebooks for left-handers. I think I got this, G. I think I can do it. Oh, you got to go to bed. Okay, good night. You trust me. Thanks, DK. Thanks, G. Good night. You sleep good. So if I follow the trail of notebooks here, Prima. We're on our own now. And they led me to the town of Half Swears, where I wrote down the half swears and the real swears. That was just something G's gut said, to write it down because you have notebooks. But now we know that the notebooks were for us. So then there was just two missing pieces. Who and why? And that was what I kept getting confused with you, was like, why was making the town half swear going to make them more welcoming? But now I have the what and the why, because the notebooks were meant for me, and the half swears now were clearly meant for me. Well, how do I know that? Because I think I've been following these notebooks to learn a lesson. I think the client in this case was me, Prima. Also, if we get through this, would you like to have non-bone broth dinner not inside of this cabin sometime? You'd have to think about it. Till you see, I was asking you out before the story because... The reason why, Prima, is because when I was in grammar school, I need to learn a lesson. I have an apology to give, and I assume that the person I owe the apology to, she lives somewhere nearby and is also a wizardess currently, maybe her post-Earth life. Why do I owe her an apology? Well, in grammar school, I believe it was fifth grade or fourth grade, I had heard a half swear on the playground, and I thought it was like an old butt, but reversed with an A-double-S in there. Yeah, it sounds like, I guess it was the original. It was a real swear, but I guess I never heard it before. Billy was the name of the kid that was using it. He ended up being a nice kid. He was. I think he went on a date with my sister once. Yeah, and then I wrote it on someone's notebook. Now, let me just, before you jump to conclusions, I think this is a case of unintended consequences because I didn't intend to hurt anybody's feelings. I wasn't writing it on someone's notebook because it was their notebook. I think. I don't remember having intention other than to write down the word because I thought it was so cool. And so I wrote it all over this notebook, and it wasn't my notebook. I think it was in a pile of notebooks to be turned in or to be handed out. And it was a classmate's notebook. And, of course, there was consequences, but I never thought about the consequences of the heart until today, Prima. And I never thought that of the unintended consequences, that it wasn't an act of, it was a simple act of a convenient notebook and a word I had to write out. But I was the only one using that word because it doesn't exist. It was only a half swear. But I didn't know it was a half swear. I thought it was a full swear. Oh, that's your friend. She lives up. Oh, well, that's her name. So... I'm going to go up the hill and apologize. It's not her name, it's you. Oh. Well, I'm here to apologize because they should, like, that was pretty tricky of you, Prima. Well, you had to see, you had to help me find my way to make me learn my lesson. Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't intending to hurt your feelings by saying, calling you that and writing it on there. And I didn't think your butt was old, clearly. It wasn't a reflection on your bottom. It was more of a, I had heard that word and it was so racy that I had to write it down. I think maybe I had some, I don't feel, I can't find any place in my heart where I was saying, well, I'm sick of this person and Prima and let me, so I apologize. And what I really apologize for, Prima, is not dealing with it at the time and saying, hey, sorry, I might have hurt your feelings. I wasn't trying to do that, but I probably did anyway. It was wrong. And it was wrong that I didn't apologize at the time. And I'm glad you led my way here. I would have never got the chance to know, to learn from my mistake. It really taught. Did you also, is there also a town that there is? Okay. Well, why don't we go there to the town of Welcoming and just try to stay everywhere? Until everybody realizes that the reason their doors don't creak is, okay, not together. So, yeah, we'll just be friends. I understand. I apologize, and you don't have to forgive me. You could take your time. Yeah, I was wrong for not apologizing. You're correct. Well, yeah, let's go. I'm going to take a little nap here and say good night to everybody. Thanks so much, and good night. I want to thank everybody over on Facebook, Jenny, Dick, Nikki, James, thanks and good night, Rachel L, Shelby C, Adam W, thanks and good night, Cash M, Nima, thanks and good night, Goran, thanks and good night, Tracy, thanks and good night, Jenny S and Chloe R, thanks and good night. Laura B to the S to the R, Judy P, Alex, thanks and good night. Matthew H, Kathy C, Ann H, thanks and good night. Dana, Michaela, Crystal, and Ann, thanks and good night. Alexandra, Denise, Kathleen, Jennifer G, thanks and good night. Wendy, Denise, Dawn, and Susan, thanks and good night. Jennifer L, thanks and good night. Kathy C, thanks and good night. Sharna, Kelly H, thanks and good night. Dawn D, thanks and good night. Melissa, thanks and good night. Camille, thank you and good night. Shirley, thanks. And Nicole, Carrie L, Lisa, thank you and good night. Linda D, Sherry S, Terry L to the L, thanks and good night. Lizzie H, Hannah, Angie, Crystal, and Mandy, thanks and good night. Brad, Therese, Brian, thank you and good night. Chris, thanks and good night. Alexis, thank you and good night. Diane, thank you and good night. Cody, thank you and good night. Nick C, thanks and good night. Cindy T, thank you and good night. Claudia, thanks and good night. Tabitha, thank you and good night. Jason, thanks and good night. Graham, thank you and good night. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for the support and the kind words, and good night.
All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review, and this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month, and what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have, if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend
using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only, and then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, in whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in the, my app is I think this is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad free full episodes, the story only episodes. Nothing in Sleeping Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story only versions of the show, the all intro, all night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to the Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. That's popping the all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is at bonus episodes. There was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. That was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off and episode 10. Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Wildy Wonka tour that came out of some news articles about the experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, and then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever need support at supercast.com is there to help you. So if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like you don't need support, but if you do, and the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me, or and most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com, and good night.